Welcome to the Trinity Life Podcast. The Trinity Life Podcast is designed to help our church family across both campuses connect with the hearts and stories of our pastors, elders, and ministry staff. In each episode, we step beyond the talking points and formal scripts to have a laid-back, relational, and heartfelt conversation with our leaders. Join us as we get to know the people behind the ministry, their journeys, and the passions that drive them to serve. All right, so we're here with Pastor Gary, and we are super excited to talk about you and your story and what God's doing in your life. And many of us here at Trinity have heard you preach and have heard kind of your heart, and so we're familiar with some of that. But the additional, especially for us folks here in Nuevo, at Nuevo campus, who don't regularly interact with you on a regular basis. And so God has obviously called you to the next season in life, which though may not be pastoral in an official capacity, obviously your gifting is still the same. He's not going to stop your gifts at on whatever, June 28th or whatever it is, and stop your gifts and, you know, so how is he going to use that? We're excited to hear about some of that. So we're going to get into all of that. Just really excited. I just want to thank you for taking the time to join us on the podcast here. And we want to thank you folks for listening to the Trinity Life Podcast, where we can definitely connect that concept of one church, two locations. And we just want to get to know each other, get to know ministry leaders and get to know elders and get to know what's in people's hearts that we're worshiping with on a regular basis, that we're being led by on a regular basis. Super excited. Gary, what I want to do is I would just want to start, and maybe if we can take a few minutes, and for those that don't know or haven't been around long, we just became members personally. For those of us that haven't known you for a long time, can you give us a little of a your testimony of Gary BC, right?
Right?
Before Christ, and then what that transition looked like and how he transformed your heart and began to shape you for the calling that he's brought you to. So can you start young age Gary BC and tell us what that looked like?
So I'm an immigrant kid. I grew up in the Netherlands till I was about five. I moved to Delaware, primarily Mr. DuPont, one of the DuPont wealthy people. I had the like to bring in immigrants. And so we were there. My parents spoke Dutch. We were learning English. I was a little boy. Didn't go to church at all. Then my dad lost his job, and we ended up moving to a 600-unit apartment complex. And not too far away was a Catholic church. And so my mom, who had been brought up Catholic, said, let's start going. So just my mom and I walked. I had a little brother, but he was too little. But anyway, we walked the Catholic church, and That was when Latin Mass and all that.
So Okay.
It was a little, okay, I know Dutch and English, but I don't know Latin.
Now we wanted to add a third one.
So it ended up that I was confused a bit. Unfortunately, some things happened that my mom felt pressure to financially and other things. And I don't know all that. I was a kid.
Sure.
So we just stopped going. But God put us in those apartments next to two families. So there's a four apartments for each unit.
Okay.
And across the hall were believers from Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And so they talk with a Southern accent, and it was thick. And up
some good Southern Baptists on you, huh?
And right above them were believers from Maine, another believing family, and they packed the car, and they were thick up. And so we're downstairs, the little old lady above us, I don't remember much, but the three families with all their heavy accents got to be good friends. And my parents were influenced in a good way, but they still didn't go to church. But I saw them going to church, and I was trying to figure out what they had, because I saw things in their families that I didn't understand in ours.
Right.
So I was intrigued. And anyway, it ended up that the family from Maine moved back to Maine. We were down in Delaware. And the folks from Tennessee were transferred for work, and they moved down south somewhere. And then we eventually moved again. Same school district, but a different house, different apartment. And the folks from Maine said, hey, do you want to come visit us?
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, sure. It was the two moms, the ones from Tennessee and the other, anyway, and the little kids. And we all drove up to Maine. So it's a 10-hour drive, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we went up there. And when you're with people and they say, hey, do you want to come to church with us? It's polite to go to church with them. I don't know.
I'm not going to church. That's awkward.
I'm going to eat your food and all that, but I'm not going to go to church. So I went to church, and oh my goodness, it was so different because it was in English, which was a big help.
I
know that sounds obvious, but it really was for me. And this preacher, this pastor, was a fireball, and he just taught clearly. And I was like, oh, And again, I didn't know where the book of Genesis was, so everything was new to me.
It was all brand new.
I was interested. We went home, and it ended up over the next number of summers that I went up to this little one flashing light town. So sure. It's a little town, okay? It didn't even have a real stoplight like Waco does.
Right. Mean,
nothing. Just one flashing light. This little town, this little church, and they had this thing called Summer Happening, and it was like a camp at night for the kids who couldn't go to camp because they were working the farms and stuff like that.
Oh, sure. Oh.
And the result of that was that I started hearing the gospel, understanding. I went back summer after summer for those times. A lot of fun. It was a lot of different fun things, but it was also good teaching. And after a while, I started thinking, I think I understand. I knew I was a sinner. No one needed to convince. That wasn't like, oh, I wonder if I relative, compared to other kids, I may have been a, quote, good kid, but I knew I wasn't.
You knew at heart.
In my heart. Okay. There was no, boy, let's convince him he's a sinner.
It's Holy Spirit had you.
Exactly.
And it was like, okay.
I knew that. Now, the problem was, is that, so it was, probably would have been the summer before my freshman year in high school. I thought I understood the gospel. I prayed to receive Christ, but I had assumed, because I didn't know much, and my parents weren't believers, and I wasn't going to church back in Delaware. Mm-hmm. So up in Maine, I had heard the gospel. I responded, but I thought that once I trusted Christ, I'd never sin again. I understood there was going to be a real change. And so when it didn't happen, because it didn't take real long for me to sin again,
right,
in my thoughts or whatever, that I'd go, I must not have really done it. And
okay.
I had nobody to ask, so I asked Jesus again and again.
Sure,
and again.
Right.
And I think that first year, it would have, I'm exaggerating when I say 100, but I asked a lot of times trying to figure it out. So anyway, I thought, okay, is there something wrong with me that Jesus won't accept me, all this? I just didn't understand. But the next summer, I went back to Maine, loaded with questions.
Oh,
and
okay,
so I went
sure.
back to this little town and this little fireball preacher, and I said, I have some questions. Can you help me out here? Because I'm reading the Bible for the first time. I'm trying to understand it. I am confused.
Anyone who keeps on sinning and John is wave of first John's wave, that's me.
That's exactly right. So I'm reading the text again, no context hardly, and certainly the few sermons I heard were up in Maine, and I wasn't in Maine, and there was no podcasts then.
Right,
there was none
sure.
of that stuff, and I hadn't found any Christian books, nobody to tell me what to read.
Right.
I didn't even own a Bible at that point. I was reading some things here and there, but I trusted Christ. I remember there was a missionary to the Lumberjacks up in Maine, and he came and spoke at one of these youth summer happenings, they called them. And I said, God, I think I really have already done this. I now understand that I, in position, will be righteous and holy through Christ. I'll be justified, as I learned later that it was called. But it won't be until I come to see you face to face that I'll be sinless. So, again, that sounds so obvious, but it wasn't to me at the
time. Sure, right.
Yeah, if you don't grow up in church and you think this and you're okay. I prayed, I knelt in a field as the speaker, the missionary, gave his call. And he said, come forward. And I was like, no, I understand this is between me and God. It has nothing to do
sure,
with you.
Right,
so I didn't go
right.
forward. I was shy. I was super shy kid. But I knelt next to some truck bumper, and I said, Jesus, I'm just making sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I do
sure.
with people now is when they go, I think I've trusted Christ. I go, let's be sure.
Let's just make sure.
It's not double jeopardy. You pray
right.
twice and you lose it or something. So I trusted Christ and went back home, and I said, I got to find a church. I understood that.
Mm-hmm.
Rode my bike to a church. And my mom had heard from, again, friends that this church, they didn't want you to go to doctors. And my mom said she trusted the people who had influenced me toward Christ, these families.
Right.
But she said, you're not going to a church where they won't let you go to a doctor.
Right.
Not
going
to happen. I said,
right.
okay, I don't have a clue where to go to church.
Then
I mean, there's one good church, and it's in a little teeny one light town in Maine.
Right.
And that's the only one I know.
I can't walk there,
man. It's a 10-hour drive. So anyway, it ended up that these neighbors who were from the South had been transferred for work, transferred back to northern Delaware. And my mom called them, and they said, sure, we'll arrange for someone to pick Gerhard, which is my given name, up. And so they picked me up. I walked a mile or whatever to the intersection, and somebody picked me up on the way to church.
Mm-hmm.
And they took me to church until I got a license. And the first Sunday there, I didn't know what to do. This church had experienced some really good things. They had a separate building that was for the youth, like a house nearby.
Oh, nice.
So I went to this building, and I'm sitting in there, Sunday school. Not quite. This is the second church experience other than what was in Latin, so I'm not knowing much. And they said to me, "Hey, what's your name?" And I said, "Gerhard." And the guy looked at me and said, "You gotta have a nickname." And I was like, and my only nickname was Dutch.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Here
sure.
in West Central Michigan, there's Dutch everywhere.
Sure,
but in
sure.
Delaware, that's not
there
true.
There wasn't, okay.
And that was my nickname. Nobody would have known me by anything but Dutch from fifth grade on.
Okay.
So that was my nickname. But I didn't know if that fit in church because I didn't know how to act in church that much. So
right.
I'm like, Dutch, that sounds like a gangster name or something. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking all this in my head. And he goes, "Gary, right?" And I said, "Sure.
That's
how I became Gary." So you say, "Pastor Gary." And I go, "Oh, yeah." Anyway, so it's kind of like Saul and Paul. Not
right.
really, but it's,
but
yeah.
Interesting the timing of it.
Oh, it was
God
a change
begins
for
to
me.
Transform,
yeah.
Cause
yeah.
When, yeah. So like you look at it, a lot of times God will transform the name, but that's really neat. That kind of happened in that space.
Yeah. It was,
Jacob,
I was shy.
Israel,
I was a shy and, you know. Kid and all that. And then, but this youth group, God had arranged probably a month and a half before I got there for this great movement of the Spirit to go through this youth
wow.
group. So I come into a youth group of maybe 99 high school kids on fire for Jesus.
Oh, praise God.
And it really made it hard for me to be a youth pastor later because I was like, it should always be that good.
Oh, right.
And of course it wasn't. It was a highlight period,
sure,
really
sure.
exciting time.
Mm-hmm.
But that youth group and that church let the youth do tons of stuff. And so I came in and, of course, I didn't know anything. I was a reasonably good student. And so when you had Sunday school or whatever you called it, and mm-hmm. they gave you homework, I did it.
Right,
which,
sure.
of course, compared to a lot of church kids who never did their homework,
right.
I suddenly was the only kid getting prepared. So
right.
I'm learning because I'm like, wait, what
I
is
know this?
I don't know the Bible. I
right.
mean, everyone else. I didn't sit with the youth group just because I wanted to pay attention in church.
Right.
We had a great teaching pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, but they all pass notes sometimes and stuff. And I was like, I didn't even judge them for that. I remember saying, man, they must know all this. But this is brand new to me, everything.
Sure.
I need to take notes.
Right.
So I sat a little bit forward. I took notes. But they gave us opportunities to minister. We, like in Big Rapids, there's Ferris State
mm-hmm.
University. But in Northern Delaware, Ferris is a boys' reformatory.
Oh.
At least it was back then. It was a lockdown facility.
Right.
And we went and played basketball and ministered the gospel to those guys. We did stuff with a girls' school on Sundays. We did services for
mm-hmm.
them. They just let us do ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to do stuff. And we came back from a retreat. I had never been on too many retreats and never heard of it. The first Sunday I came and nobody was there at church. I go, where'd it happen to all the youth? Where did they go? They're on a retreat. And I'm like, what are they retreating from? I didn't know why they called it a retreat. But anyway, after a while, I went on a couple of those. And the fun thing was, is that they came back and said, that's when churches had Sunday night services, not so much small groups, but Sunday night and Wednesday or Thursday night prayer meeting. And they said, would you share the best illustration from the weekend away? And I still remember doing that. It was the frog in the kettle type thing.
Right.
Where it gets cooked if it goes up slowly and it'll jump out. And I was nervous and I did it. And I actually smacked my hands right in front of the microphone and it almost exploded the sound system. Not on purpose, just out of
right.
just doing a gesture of the frog jumping out
uh-huh.
of the hot water. And you just saw all these people. And it was like, wow, they're attentive. There was something right then.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of little old ladies came up and I still remember, I don't know their names. They just said, young man, we think God's going to do something with you, and we're praying for you.
Mm.
And I couldn't tell you their names. These were old people to me, and I didn't have parents in the church, so I had friends
sure.
in the church. But God used that and started to say, maybe I could serve in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But I was good at science. My parents had immigrated for the purpose of my education. They wanted me to be a medical doctor or something like that. They didn't have much money. They wanted me to have financial security. So that there was a pressure. I was super shy. And so science and shy, I thought, I want to be a veterinarian because I
right.
can do science and do surgery, which I thought would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I shadowed some stuff. And I talked to veterinarians and they said, oh, the animals are great. They have owners. And I go,
oh, yeah.
Oh, I still have
oh,
to
shoot.
Deal. I still have to deal with people. And it was a funny moment. But, and then, I don't know, I decided the vet programs on the East Coast are pretty limited in the universities that are there. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up sending my SAT scores away, and I had one extra SAT score that was free. And I saw the name of someone who spoke at these events up in Maine mm-hmm. so many years before, and they had it on their t-shirt, mm-hmm. the King's College. And I said, I've heard of that. I like that guy. I'll send my SAT score there. I had known nothing about the place.
Right.
If I did well on my SATs and I got all this material back, and I was mm-hmm. like, oh, I can go visit them. That would be interesting. So I went there, and I saw from this small school people getting into law school and med school and all this. And I was like, oh, I'll go here for a year, maybe two, and get mm-hmm. Bible. Because I knew I didn't. I had studied my Bible. Mm-hmm. And actually, I was able to test out of the whole year of Bible mm-hmm. just because I studied it like a student studies it, not like a little kid. It right. wasn't just the Bible stories. I was trying to understand history and stuff. I was trying to put it together. Right. I got to figure it out. Yeah, that's the way God wired me. So it ended up that I ended up staying there all 4 years. And about halfway through, a little bit later, it's actually between my junior and senior year, it was either take the medical college admissions tests or plan to go to seminary. And that was really challenging for me because I was right. like, this is very different. But I had sensed God's pleasure in doing ministry. And that's when I felt alive. I was right. good at science, okay, right. math and all that stuff.
I figured things out, took them apart and put yep. them back together. How does yeah. this work yeah. and function? And right. And yeah. you can see that. I think people see that a lot in your toolkit that you've put together and all this. Us just having recently gone through the Exploring Trinity course, all of that material that you put together, that you can see that's how your brain would work. And okay, so tell me a little bit about how that, you go from this math brain concept into being a pastor. How did that transition happen?
Again, in college, I kept saying sure to things, okay? Because I have to tell you, God takes care of his little idiots. I'm the chief idiot. I mm-hmm. don't think it was, I was just like, somebody said, hey, you want to run for student government? I go, sure. You want to do this? Sure. You want to do this? Sure. And that led to leadership opportunities and then also ministry in the church.
Because you connected with a local church once you started going
oh, yeah.
to school.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we, yeah. That, right? I just assumed that's what you're supposed to do.
Sure.
You know, that was not a question. It's always sad when college students don't connect to a local church, in my opinion.
Right.
And so I did. And then another church actually offered me a part-time youth position in my senior year. It was like $15 a week that didn't cover gas.
How did they find you? Like
it was, so I enjoyed teaching a little bit. I had done a little bit of preaching actually in rescue shelters down in Delaware. That was some options. So
another yes, another I'll do that.
Yeah, sure. So I did some of those things and I felt like God's favor was on that. And they had preaching contests in the college.
Preaching contests?
Yes, in the sense that it was a opportunity that this famous preacher had left some money, and it wasn't much of a scholarship, but it was $50, $100. And you have to understand, I didn't have any money at all.
Well, sure, hey, and, preach for 50 bucks, okay.
And you weren't sure to get it, but you were going to get feedback. I preached in those, and by God's grace, I've won several times, and that was so my... the chaplain of the college knew me from that context. He had been one of the judges.
And so and when that, somebody said, we right. need a youth pastor, he said, hey, check out this guy.
That's right. So
Gary.
Gary. Yeah, I was Gary. And it ended up that the summer before my senior year, I said, I've got to see if I can do ministry full time. I like doing it once in a while. I like doing it on Sundays. I was Sunday school teacher. I did youth pastoring. I did all that stuff. But I had this idea that I would do a whole summer of ministry. So I was going to write to fellow college students, or actually to their churches, and ask whether they could use me for a week, for a day, for anything. And I'll see what God puts together.
Fill in, see what
happens. But I knew that if I just sent letters to people who'd never heard of me, because not like anyone had ever heard of me, that I would be turned out. They would throw it in the trash.
So you get in a warm...
So I asked the students, I said, I wrote 140 of them or whatever, and I said, hey... Would you consider if I put a package together of bringing this to your pastor and saying, hey, he's an okay guy, would you look at this? And out of that, a whole bunch responded yes, not all of them. Mm-hmm. And I sent out like 42 some packages to all these churches that I'd never heard of, but actually through the students. So it was personally walked in.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to over half a summer up and down the East Coast speaking.
No, what was your degree in at this time?
I'm between junior and senior in doing a biology major, except part of it back then, And you could take as many classes as you wanted once you were full time. And so I overloaded all the time.
Oh,
so
okay.
I ended up, instead of taking the 16 credits, I take 21, 22 credits.
Okay.
But I take Bible classes. I take...
Oh, the extras.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I took...
So you were going biology, headed toward that veterinarian thing still.
Yep. Okay. I was still doing that. Actually, by then I said, this is too much work for cats and dogs. I'll go to med school.
Okay.
If I got to deal with people anyway, I might as well
help people be healthy.
On them. Nothing against animals. I really like animals. But...
Right.
So anyway, that led to all that. And so I did that God confirmed that summer thing. And I was like... Yeah, it was hard to live out of a suitcase for half a summer, mm-hmm. going one place to another.
And were you married yet?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I was just going around, going to fellow students' homes. They were putting me up. The first place I went was a little town that was so small in Vermont that I drove through it and missed it. It didn't even have one flashing light. But these three little churches had gotten together and said, hey, we'll sponsor him to come.
Uh-huh.
So I was there for a week, and God blessed that. And I just said, just a love offering. You don't know fees or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And people had a farewell party for me at the end of a week, and they started pushing money into my hands, $5, $10. Mm-hmm. And it was just, and man, it was a lot of money by the end.
Sure.
I was like, I'm going to get rich this summer, you know?
Maybe pay off some of these
students. But my parents, who weren't believers, had said, we don't want you to do this because you have to pay for college. And I had gone back to the college, to the president, Dr. Bob Cook, and I had said, I will put out literature for the college. I will not speak about the college, but I will put out literature for the college every place I go if you will guarantee that I will bring in as much as I would bring in if I stayed home and worked on the golf course where I worked on the green screen.
Okay.
And they said, we'll do that. So the first week I get all this money. The second week I go to a big church, not a dime, no gas money, nothing. And I'm like, oh, okay, we'll see how this is going to work. And that's one of those great faith stories for me, because by the end of the summer, I think it was like $14 more than if I had stayed home. And God, it's one of those that you say, I knew God was in this, and I knew I wasn't going to get rich, but he would take care of me. And that was a huge, and that's when I decided I was going to go to seminary, and I was going to change majors and do all that. And then some folks from the seminary said, hey, you don't need to do that. You've taken all these other classes. You've taken mm-hmm. Greek for 2 years. You've mm-hmm. done this and that. So I had done a lot of things because I wanted mm-hmm. to know the Bible better.
Right,
I assumed I was going to be a medical doctor or a veterinarian.
Sure.
But I wanted to be on fire for Jesus and whatever I did.
While you did that, right.
So yeah, that led to them saying, just keep your major. The only thing I did differently, I didn't finish a chemistry minor because I was like, oh, yeah, I don't think I need that. And I took accounting, which sounds strange, but I thought, I'm probably going to be a pastor. I'm some little teeny church that nobody knows how to handle money.
I should know accounting.
So I was the only senior in a freshman accounting class. And they're all like, what are you doing here? I said, I'm getting ready for ministry. And they're going, what? I said, and God had arranged, and then God had blessed even in how I ended up going to Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, and that was a wonder. And Kathy and I were married the end of the summer before I went to seminary, so it was quite the change. But and again, it was one of those that I felt God's pleasure. I was a very shy person, even when we came to Trinity. I said, I don't think I can handle moving every 3-4 years.
Right.
So I don't make relationships and friends that quickly. I'm shy. Okay.
Right.
I can act extroverted, mm-hmm, not being extroverted.
Right. So
I think
if you're gonna put me in a situation where I'm gonna need to be, then you're gonna have to show up in a big way.
And it didn't mean like a great definition is an extrovert gains energy from being with people.
Yes.
An introvert expends a lot of and I love people. But I expend a lot of energy when I'm with people.
Right.
And so with God and his mercy. So when Kathy and I were given the opportunity to at least look at Trinity Fellowship as a fledgling little mm-hmm. ministry, really the first full-time pastor, I just said, I think we could do this. And we prayed, Kathy and I did.
Right.
We said, God, would you leave us here for a while?
Mm-hmm.
And he did. So obviously, for a little while.
So you... Did you just job searched, or you did your thing of reaching out again to people you knew, or
at that time the seminary had a placement office, and so my name followed this one guy around all the time, and because this guy became a mega church pastor, he was incredibly gifted and good looking and all that stuff, but he was very, this is the way it is. Okay. And so he had come up here and met with the folks, and that was uncomfortable for the folks here.
Okay.
Because Northern Michigan is not so much, you're going to tell me what I'm going to do. It's, we got to work on this together.
Right.
So it ended up that Enoch Olson, who was the director of Spring Hill Camps in Everett, was helping with this new church plant.
Mm-hmm.
They had Bill Jones, who had done his internship under Enoch while he was between his second and third year in seminary. And so he was going to go back to finish seminary. Enoch just came and said, I'm looking for the best preachers. And that's what Enoch said. And again, I had entered some things and I had won some awards in seminary. And so they said, you should check him out. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. Now I had nowhere else to go. It wasn't like, everyone, I was 25 years old. It wasn't like everyone was going, yes, there's 10 people lined up wanting Gary. They didn't know Gary from Adam. It was just like, I was like, God, I'll trust you that you'll provide. Even where Kathy worked, God, there's so many great God stories, okay? Because like Kathy, we found a job because of this youth pastor thing that I did during seminary. That ties to the teaching tour up and down the East Coast. That led to things. Kathy got a job that tripled in salary in 3 years. We were putting money away in seminary.
Wow.
So that we could go to...
Wait, you were putting money away? And so any pastors who are listening to this are like, you...
It was amazing because it allowed us the freedom to go to a small church.
And not have to worry about it.
Nothing.
And not have to worry about it.
We didn't have this massive debt load.
Right.
And so God provided all that. And it was just, you look and you go, I have a whole bunch of these stories that as I think of my early years in Christ and even in ministry that you just go, yeah, this was really good. And so we came, the church was a little gun shy from the previous guys. So they said, we don't want you to candidate. We just want you to come up and preach. And I said, you pay my gas money, I'll preach anywhere. So we did.
Right.
And they hadn't immediately called back. And Kathy was being asked, even though she had tripled her salary, the job change had made it that she was doing some things as an accounting manager that she wasn't comfortable with. And she was coming home crying and just saying, I think this is wrong, Gary. And I said, you know what? We have to trust God. And you need to put in your resignation and we'll figure it out. She goes, you don't have any place to go after you graduate. There's nobody, there's no jobs lined up. And I said, I can flip burgers. I've done short order
pay
cooks.
The bills.
God will take care of his little idiots. Remember, I'm the chief idiot. I know that. He takes care of us. And so she had resigned and it was actually, I graduated on a Saturday, Trinity Fellowship. We had interviewed a few weeks before then, on the Sunday after graduation, called late in the evening and said, we want you to come. Do you need time to pray about it? I said, we've been praying about it. It's go. So we'll see you in 2 weeks. We're going to go visit my parents in Delaware. We're going to visit her folks in Maine. She was from Maine. She's actually only an hour away from where I trusted Christ.
Oh.
But we didn't know each other at all until later. Just those stories that, to me, I tell people, look, you can trust God. You don't always understand, but you can trust God.
Trust God. So there you landed at Trinity Fellowship in Big Rapids.
Yeah.
So we're gonna pause there, Gary, for today. We're gonna do next episode. So if you want the rest of the story where we dig into really Gary's gifting and the ministry thus far and what's going on next, if you want more of that, stay tuned and there'll be another episode that you can dig into. So we appreciate you listening and we'll see you Sunday.
Thanks.
All right, and